first time certain item. We're going to run two, we're going to have, back to my first page here, item number 97, please.
Adopt updated outside work policy, disclosure form, and training materials to increase transparency and accountability in city operations.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. Last October,
we passed a resolution directing our city attorney and the chief administrative officer to update the city's rules regarding outside work. We asked them to clarify and simplify the rule, create a new disclosure form, and develop training materials for city employees. The premise of that action was that when our employees have been in harm's way, the premise of that action was that our employees have been in harm's way, and we owe them better. Outside work is generally allowed, provided it doesn't interfere with an employee's duty to the city or present a conflict of interest. But the rule was so poorly written and so poorly understood that, in our experience, most employees didn't know it existed, much less what it required of them. The city takes conflict of interest very seriously, and violations can result in discipline up to and including termination. We have a responsibility to ensure that our employees understand these rules and have the tools they need to follow them. Today, I'm pleased to bring back materials for your council colleagues for your review and adoption. They will, in my judgment, result in increased transparency and accountability and better protect our employees. And we have incorporated feedback we received from our labor partners at PTE, Labor's, and AFSCME. I want to thank them in particular for their thoughtful engagement. Today we have an all-star panel comprised of Chief Administrative Officer Tom Reinhart, Chief Deputy City Attorney Robert Taylor, and Senior Deputy City Attorney Matt Farley here to present, and then we'll take a vote on the resolution. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Council. Commissioner Fish, thanks for the introduction. And I'm very pleased to be in front of Commissioner Hardesty for the first time. Good morning to all Council. My name is Tom Reinhart. I'm the Chief Administrative Officer. On your direction, my office worked with the city attorney's team to develop this proposal for you to update our city policy on outside work. As we all know, the rapid, widespread adoption of digital technology has lowered the barriers of entry for entrepreneurs and people seeking multiple jobs. The Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows 5% of the labor force holds some type of second job. However, across the nation, 18 to 34-year-olds report numbers closer to 40%. For some people, having a second job enables them to augment income, advance their careers, learn new skills, or engage in avocation. Setting aside the legitimate and important debate about how this trend relates to the rise in income inequality in our country, I firmly believe the City of Portland is taking a necessary proactive step in recognizing that more of our employees in the coming years will engage in paid work outside of their city employment, and we should have a solid, transparent process for it. As you will hear from the team, the proposed disclosure form and training removes the need for employees to determine on their own if their other jobs or businesses are a potential or actual conflict of interest. It provides a clear process that is transparent and details what is expected from our employees, making it easier to participate in outside work. Now I will give the floor to Robert Taylor to talk about the proposed updated approach.
Thank you. My name is Robert Taylor. I'm the Chief Deputy City Attorney. This resolution will clarify and simplify the administrative rule on outside employment. The new rule is more protective of both employees and the city because the rule will help us better prevent and resolve actual and potential conflicts of interest. The current rule really puts the onus on the employee to make the decision as to whether to report outside employment. Employees have to parse the existing rule, which can be challenging. The existing rules are vague and complicated, and they can be difficult to interpret. For example, employees must report outside employment that, quote, directly or indirectly subject to the control, inspection, review, or audit by the city. Elsewhere, in another part, the rule says that employees must report outside employment that entail responsibilities that include financial transactions or financial decisions involving funds received directly or indirectly from the city. That can be difficult for employees to understand and interpret, and under the existing rule, they carry that burden. As a result, the existing rule can be a trap for the unwary, and it's unfair to the employees. The new rule provides a consistent process that takes the onus off the employee. There's a standard form to report outside employment. There is a regular reporting interval. And then the manager is responsible for resolving the issue of conflicts through a written plan. The new rule also requires training for employees and managers. These are substantial improvements to the existing rule and make the situation more fair to the employees and the city. And now Matt Farley will discuss the rule in more detail.
Good morning. So I worked closely with the CAO on this policy under the direction of Commissioner Fish, and hats off to Commissioner Fish and his chief of staff, Sonia Szymanski, for identifying this issue and taking it on a proactive basis before we have some sort of crisis. And to start off, I'm going to be very brief, but I think we all need to be reminded there's a state statute that governs us. ORS 244 requires all of us, every single employee at the city, to disclose potential and actual conflicts of interest, of which outside employment would be one. So we're bound by a state law to do this self-disclosure. There's no getting around that. In addition, we, as the employer, are required by that state law to come up with a written plan to resolve any potential or actual conflict of interest. So this rule is not intended to prevent people from having outside employment unless it presents an actual conflict of interest. It does allow people to engage in outside employment, but there must be a written plan by the city to resolve it. So, for example, if someone owns a landscaping business that bids on projects for the Parks Bureau, that employee should not be on any type of committee that would select bidders for such a contract. We need a written plan that takes that person out of that decision-making loop, and that statute requires that written plan to be held and documented and for potential disclosure. So we have to keep a written record is what I'm trying to say. So we're all governed by that. So our prior policy, HR 405, had no training component for employees or managers. The prior policy had no disclosure form. And our prior policy had no resolution form or clear place for these records to be held as required by the state statute. So the improvements are, as you've heard, that we will now have trainings. We have a disclosure form that will be filled out by all employees on a recurring basis. We have a form for the written resolution plans. And then the idea is that these will be stored in employee personnel files. So we will be in compliance with the state statute. And I have had some discussions with the State Ethics Commission staff. And the State Ethics Commission is very excited about this. They're very much in favor of our approach and commend us on this process. So that's, I think, why we're doing this, and it's a good idea.
Matt, it's my understanding also that there's a clarifying amendment that you'd all like me to put on the table, so I'd like to do that at this particular time. I want to clarify and acknowledge that bureaus may have different policies, some of which could actually be more restrictive than what's appropriate. In the administrative rulemaking supplementary document, the language currently reads, bureaus may implement more restrictive policies. This amendment proposes the following language instead. Bureaus may work with BHR to tailor a more restrictive policy to meet individual bureau needs. Could I get a second?
Second.
We have a motion, second from Commissioner
Carla, can we
Fish.
Pull the PowerPoint up? Can we come back to council for a second?
We have it up here.
Yeah, we're done with the PowerPoint.
Oh.
So we just come back to the panel.
And I'll leave that amendment on the table for further questions or public testimony.
And I just want to make one, if I could, Mayor, one comment to my
Certainly.
Colleagues. We had a terrific intern last summer named Sheila Panyam. Some of you may remember her as being part of a Championship We the People team, but in addition, just a very smart and capable person who is now at the University of Washington. And she devoted a number of months looking at how other cities deal with this. The thing that we concluded early on is that the idea of having a very convoluted and hard-to-decipher policy that required employees on their own initiative to make disclosures was a non-starter. And what we also concluded was that Portland shouldn't wait till we get an audit or some event to trigger a response. We should be looking at best practices across the country and figure out where we land. There are some cities that are slightly have put in place policies that are frankly a little more aggressive than the ones that we're proposing today. There are some jurisdictions locally that are already ahead of us, like Multnomah County, which has had a mandatory disclosure requirement for some time. Where I think, based on the conversations we've had with colleagues and stakeholders and with professional staff, where I think we've landed is a policy that is light years ahead of where we were. But I want to be very clear. My hope is that you will support this resolution so we can test drive this. The best way we're going to learn as to whether we hit the right balance and whether it needs refinement is for us to jump in and do it. One of the things we don't know, for example, is how many employees have outside employment. That would be nice to have that data. We don't have a sense of the kinds of things people are doing. We don't know until we try how effective is that interactive process between the ultimate manager and the employee in terms of scoping out what you can and can't do. It'll be an iterative process where we also are working with key city staff to refine it. I suspect in the next 3 years we may come back and sharpen and tighten some bolts. But I think this is really an outstanding first step. And I want to be clear, the thing that offended me the most about the policy when I read it was, first, I couldn't understand it. And it seems to me if conflict of interest is something that we all agree is sort of the coin of the realm of good government is making sure we avoid conflicts of interest. Having a policy that on its face is very hard to understand is a non-starter. And the second thing is I thought it was unfair to put the whole burden and onus on the employee. If you have a policy that it's not clear and we don't train on, and then we say that, how convenient, the employee has the responsibility, and by the way, if they get it wrong, we're going to come down on them like a ton of bricks. It seems to me like we had the wrong framework. So what I'm asking for today is your support for a resolution which launches the program. We'll give you some feedback as to what we're learning. We may end up at some point coming back with suggested, further refinements. But we think we've hit the right sweet spot for at least launching it, and we want to get started, and I urge your support.
Thanks, Commissioner. Commissioner Udaly.
I just need some clarity on the amendment. We currently have bureaus that have stronger policies. Does this amendment require them to go back and renegotiate with BHR in order to keep those policies in place?
Matt.
I think that's a good question. I think that would be a question for BHR and the Bureau to work out. Presumably in the past, the bureaus that implemented their policies, such as BDS, had some issues happening over the years with conflicts of interest that were an embarrassment to the city. And those bureaus responded to resolve those things aggressively so that some of those actions by some employees would never happen again, and BHR was consulted at the time. We have new leadership, and so I think the that's a discussion for the bureaus and BHR to have.
Okay.
May I add one comment to that?
Sure.
There's two categories. There's existing policies which may be more restrictive, and under this language, I think simply a communication with HR is what's required. But there's also a couple of examples where in a collective bargaining agreement, there is a more restrictive regime, like with the police contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I read this amendment is it has no application to those circumstances where through collective bargaining, a different regime has been negotiated. And the police have a separate process.
Sure. I actually had BDS more in mind with this question and just want to ensure that the bureaus retain some ability to manage their kind of unique circumstances, because I don't think a blanket policy will work for every bureau. But as long as that's what we're doing, I'm comfortable with the amendment.
But what's the purpose of having to consult with the Bureau of Human Resources?
If I might, Robert Taylor, Chief Deputy City Attorney, one of the goals of the policy, the new policy as drafted, is to have a standard process that's clear to all employees throughout the city, both the form that's standard and the regular intervals that are standard and the training that is standard. And so recognizing that some bureaus like BDS, because of their unique circumstance and history, might have a need for a more restrictive rule, the amendment would require them to consult with BHR so BHR could understand the need for it and how it would be consistent with the existing policy and what the differences would be, so that then those employees could be trained on that appropriately. That's the main purpose, so BHR can have a full understanding of what all the rules are for all the employees, because the goal is to clarify it as much as possible.
Human Resources, rather than the commissioner in charge, would get to make that decision?
It would be the bureau director, so the BDS bureau director in consultation with the BHR director would make that, and they would, of course, both report to their respective commissioners in charge.
I share Commissioner Udaly's concern. I would not want to see, in the name of uniformity, doing away with a policy which has had good results since the previous problems in that particular bureau. My next question is, what's the role of the commissioner in the supervision of his or her bureau directors? How do bureau directors relate to this policy?
The contracts for bureau directors can and should address outside employment. The actual individual employment contract with the bureau director can address these questions.
But after the first 3 years, as Commissioner Hardesty has found out, we don't have contracts. And so previously, whenever I've been assigned a new bureau and therefore a new director, in that very first conversation, there has been a disclosure of what outside income the director may have and a discussion of whether that's okay or not. Is that still allowed and or required?
Can I answer that question? Because
I've
been thinking about how this would affect. So it's both required and allowed. And in fact, the commissioner in charge is the person that oversees the director. And so it would be my intent under this rule to sit down with my directors on a regular basis. And there are some directors that do outside work. I mean, you have a director, for example, that you know, stores horses.
I'm well aware of that because they told me the very first time we met.
And I learned it very early on and quickly concluded that storing horses, as long as it wasn't storing
I think
horses.
It's storing them, Commissioner. It's a horse ranch. It's really boring. Much more exciting than
they're
storing them.
Boring, right? Boring.
Commissioner, boarding.
I'm not trying to draw too much attention to this, but it didn't scream obvious conflict of interest. But it's my understanding under these rules that it would be the commissioner in charge that would then meet with the director, engage in this process, have this iterative process, and since this is a policy that is subject to discipline, if a director defied a commissioner in charge in terms of that conversation, then that is grounds for discipline, including up to termination.
So is a director under this policy required to report any new outside income?
The way we've structured this is I think that there's going to be an initial disclosure, and then I think within 3 years there's a follow-up. We're trying not to create a bureaucratic system which is unduly burdensome to the city because we have a lot of these things.
Yes.
What I would say is I believe that's up to the commissioner in charge, but it seems to me upon any reassignment that's a conversation you'd want to have. And I would think that since we do letters of performance every year and evaluations every year, I think it should become part of the formal process with the director to say, are there any changes?
Mm-hmm. And
that is uniquely within the director's, excuse me, the commissioner's prerogative to do that. And I think we should do that at least on an annual basis when we're doing performance reviews.
And if I might add, the state law requires disclosure. So if there was a change in circumstances under the state law, we are bound to make a disclosure.
State law only applies to conflict of interest, though, right?
Conflicts of interest, of which outside employment would be one.
But if there's an outside employment like a horse ranch that is not a conflict of interest, would they be required to report that under state law?
Yeah, I think if there was a conclusion that it did not present a potential conflict of interest or even a potential conflict of interest, then maybe you wouldn't have to disclose that. But
Well, Matt, let's be even clearer on this. Currently, the requirement is that you disclose a actual or potential conflict of interest. If you have an outside employment, and by the way, as a model employer, increasingly we're going to be hiring people that have outside jobs, and that's the nature of the workplace. They don't have to disclose that they have an outside job if it doesn't present a conflict. Under these rules, you are required to disclose outside employment, whether it presents a conflict or not, and that then is determined by the manager. That's different than what the low water mark is currently with state law, because under state law, you'd only have to disclose if there is a conflict.
Or a potential conflict.
Potential conflict. We are requiring the disclosure of outside employment, which may or may not present a conflict, but requiring someone then to do a follow-up discussion to determine whether there's a conflict.
Yes.
So that's different.
Thank you.
Very good. Does that complete your... Oh, Tom?
I just want to say thanks to Matt and Francisca Garfia from my office who worked long and hard on this. Thank you.
Very good. I also understand that Director Cerilda Summers-McGee is here, and she'd like to testify, and so we'll bring her up first as invited testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Cerilda Summers-McGee, and I'm the Chief Human Resources Officer for the City of Portland. Thank you, Commissioners and Mayor, for allowing me to come up and testify before you here today. Mayor and Commissioners, I want to say that the Bureau of Human Resources is in support of this updated and consolidated, as well as centralized, City of Portland secondary employment law and rules, right? So ORS 244 and HRAR 405. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of employees who have secondary employment at the city. Some inherited buildings and lease their space. Some work nights and weekends as a janitor or pick up additional shifts to cover pay gaps. Others moonlight as writers, graphic designers, videographers, and so much more. And some have small businesses that are not at all in conflict with the City of Portland in any way. Today's workforce is evolving to have multiple streams of income. Technology is allowing individuals to contract their skills in project-based ways. So think about Etsy, Craigslist, Thumbtack, Angie's List, and countless other websites where individuals can promote skills and be hired and compensated for their time and expertise. I believe secondary employment that is not in conflict with the City of Portland's, with the city employees' job, strengthens the city and allows us to promote our workplace as being one that welcomes creatives and entrepreneurs. This consolidated rule is a step in the right direction for the City of Portland, and BHR plans to do more to streamline human resources rules, help promote a healthy and transparent workplace culture, and work to foster a work environment where people feel free to be who they are and feel like the city is a safe and supportive environment to be the fullest versions of themselves. In 2019, workplace culture will be the central point of focus for the Bureau of Human Resources. We believe reflecting thoughtfully about the culture and how employees will respond to our services, policies, and approach to our work will truly help establish the City of Portland as the best place to work, no matter the sector. So again, BHR supports the centralization of this rule.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any questions for Director Summers-McGee? Great. Great. Thank you for being here. Thanks for your testimony.
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll open up to public testimony. Carla, how many people do we have on the list?
We have 4 people.
Very good. 3 minutes each. Name for the record, please.
The first 3 are Joe Walsh, Robert West, and Maggie.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things we were concerned about was what happens with an employee who fails to disclose. You're going to have to take some kind of discipline. Is that discipline set up, or is it just willy-nilly, whatever we feel like or the supervisor feels like? The second issue that we have with this was we don't like new regulations and laws coming down on employees. Just we have a negative reaction to that immediately. And a lot of things that Commissioner Fish said was also talked about. And we said, you know, the employee has to do everything on this. And the employee has to do it to their supervisor. If the supervisor doesn't like the person that's coming to them, what do you think the reaction's going to be? And what appeal does the employee have? Can the employee go over the supervisor's head to the director or to the bureau chief, person in charge of the bureau, the commissioner? And if they do that, what kind of negative is that? I was once in my working life a supervisor. Someone went over my head. I was not happy. So those are the things that came up in the discussion, that it seems to us that when you do these things, you have a plan, and Commissioner Fish wants to play games with it for a couple of years and kind of tweak it. Well, that's on the back of the employees. You guys ought to sit down and spend some more time on this and figure out, are we hurting the employees? And the way you're doing it, and the way I'm reading the supporting documentation, unless I'm totally wrong, and I'm getting old, I may be wrong, you guys ought to go back and think about this. Because you might just aggravate a whole bunch of people. And you don't really want that. And I think Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fritz feel it. They know there's something wrong with this, but they can't put their finger on it. And that came out last night also. We can't put our fingers on, but we're nervous about this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, there's 2 things I want to address. One is low-level employees, like janitors or, you know, sort of, or police department people or people
this only
who,
impacts
who may work outside of the city, like at another job. I don't think that's really a problem as long as they're honest about it. But I do think, and we were talking about this at the county last week, that it hurts inclusion, fairness, diversity, and equity when you just take a core group of people and you just hire them over and over again because maybe they're trained and it costs too much money to train somebody else to come in. And then all of a sudden you've just got the same group of people working for you all the time. The other thing is high level employees, bureaucrats, representatives. Okay, let's take the situation of something like Publishers Clearing House or, say, a McDonald's sweepstakes or, you know, a sweepstakes on the back of a Cheerios box. And those, no family member of a sweepstakes can participate in the sweepstakes. So if somebody's on a committee for awarding a contract and they're also, you know, working in the city and they're father or their cousin or their sister or their aunt or uncle has a construction company. I never thought I'd say this. Take the example of Jeff Sessions and recuse yourself. we can't have disclosure is not enough. You need to pull yourself off of the committee making the award. And don't be sitting in a position of the power to hire someone and then hire your cousin. You're going to have somebody else come in and hire that person. Does that make sense in terms of diversity?
Yes, perfectly. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridgegreen Johnson. And it's a beautiful day here in Cascadia. We're privileged to have some of our friends from Sisters of the Road upstairs in the recently remodeled balcony with us. They'll be talking about maybe an issue that's more impactful to a broader collection of people than just city employees. But this issue was discussed here in these chambers that we're talking about right now before Commissioner Hardesty came on. And I'm glad to see that a lot of work. The clerk has even incorporated the PowerPoint into the 19 pages of online presentation. So I feel that the presentation is and the policy is in a much more competent position, and I won't have to be as forceful as I was the last time I testified on this issue from this table right here. So it's particularly last time we discussed it, there was no direct mention of the relationship between bureau directors and the person that does their oversight, the actual elected commissioner. So I'm very glad that Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Udaly brought that into the discussion, and that we were able to learn that people that bureau director level pay, when they first come to the city, have a 3-year contract, but then when we renew their services, we've reached a level of comfort and confidence where we don't have to nail it down always in a legal contract. So Commissioner Udaly was adamant the last time, and recently just spoke up a few minutes ago, that the target of this is really executive left people where the risks are higher, and that most of the people that I was most concerned about when we spoke in the lower wage classes in the city have found protection. I don't know if we've thought about exactly how this might extend to some of the part-time, non-permanent summer parks employees. Are we also going to have to track them?
Can I answer that for you?
Yes.
Commissioner Fritz raised that at the last hearing. And at her urging, we have excluded seasonal employees. So it seems to me that people that work episodically and are coming and going, it's both administratively unworkable to do this and probably a little unfair. So they're still bound by the rule about having to disclose a clear conflict of interest. But we've taken seasonals out of the reporting requirement.
That seems wise, both from a paperwork perspective. And really, I don't know that a seasonal employee can have that much of a conflict of interest type of impact on the good brand of the city. So I think we're in a position to move forward, and I anticipate a unanimous vote coming up. But that's just a gut feeling. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, that's I love the Grey Panthers.
That's all who signed up.
Very good. Colleagues, any further questions of staff? Carla, to the amendment, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. To the main motion is amended. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Commissioner Fish, I appreciate your and your Chief of Staff Sonia Szymanski's work on this project. I think it's a good first step. I do believe that there should be additional clarity over bureau directors and what they do in their outside time so that the public knows that they're getting value for money. And I think there's a lot of issues regarding bureau directors and their at-will status that needs to be clarified in some future project. Thank you for your work on this one. Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to work with really a high-level team on this. I want to thank all the professionals of the city, particularly the CAO, city attorney, and HR, who've helped us shape this. I'm proud that as a city, we're moving closer to the best practices emerging in cities like Dayton and Syracuse. I never thought I'd say that in a public forum that we're trailing Dayton and Syracuse, but they're ahead of us. And frankly, following the good lead of Multnomah County across the river, which has had a mandatory disclosure process in place for some time. And I'm really proud that we're doing this for the right reason and not because of a scandal or an audit or some reaction. We're doing this because we care about conflicts of interest, we care about ethics in government, and we want to have a policy that protects our employees, educates our employees, and makes sure that we get the information we need to keep people free of conflicts. I want to thank in particular Commissioner Fritz and the mayor for their partnership on this. I want to thank my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, who is an absolute gem, and for the work that she's done on this. I want to thank Sheila Panyam, who's one of the best interns we've ever had, who doggedly researched all this. And really, I think the public doesn't fully appreciate the value of internships that we have. We have interns from the Hatfield School. We have interns from all kinds of places. But we often get high school students and college students who want to intern. And when you have a smart intern who's willing to really dig into something, you get the results that we got from Sheila. And this is as much a testament to her hard work and diligence and the work she did for our office. So I really want to thank her and acknowledge her role. And I'm proud that the council is making this, which I believe is the first in a number of steps we'll take over the next few years to strengthen our policies. Thank you to my colleagues for their support. Aye.
Hardesty.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that the onus in this particular ordinance is on us as the supervisors to actually be proactive in determining whether or not people have additional employment. And so I actually think this makes it better because it is not putting the burden on the employee's shoulder to self-disclose. I vote aye.
You daily.
I want to acknowledge that I misspoke earlier. I had a little brain schism, and I'm blaming it on the fact that we no longer have a coffee shop at City Hall. And I'm a little under-caffeinated. I appreciate this ordinance. Conflict of interest is something that I'm concerned with, take seriously. Wish we had better policies at the state legislature level. But that discussion's for another day. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, it goes without saying that the city of Portland wants to be an employer of choice. And of course, as Commissioner Fish said, to be an employer of choice, we have to remain relevant to those who want to be employees. And I believe this is an excellent policy. It's going to allow us to continue to be transparent and accountable, but it's also going to give our employees the space that they need to help provide for themselves and their families economically. I think it also encourages us through the amendment to bring all of our bureaus together to achieve some sense of parity. And on the whole, Commissioner Fish, I think this is excellent work. When you started this, I knew it was going to be very complicated, and I knew that there would be some potential tripwires in this policy. And I think it showed true leadership that you are willing to take up something that, as was mentioned here, maybe isn't of great import to the community on the whole, but accountability and transparency is really significant to the overall trust that the community places in us and in our government. So I want to thank you in particular, Commissioner Fish. I want to thank Tom Reinhart, who's our Chief Administrative Officer, Director Cyril DeSummers McGee, Matt Farley, Sonia Schmansky. I mean, we all know as elected officials who does the real work for us. It's our staffs, and we value them, and this is just another example. Commissioner Fish, where you and your staff have really worked tirelessly to bring something to all of us that we can vote on, apparently 5-0, which is great. I vote aye. The resolution's adopted as amended. Next